This is VOA News via remote. I'm Joe Palca. Amy Coney Barrett was formally sworn in today as a justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. Chief Justice John Roberts administered the oath to the former federal appellate judge who was confirmed by the U.S. Senate in a 52-48 vote late Monday. Democrats argued that the decision of picking a nominee for the seat should have been left up to whichever candidate wins the presidential election, a stance Republicans held when there was an election year vacancy in early 2016. Republicans then refused to consider Democratic President Barack Obama's nomination of another appellate judge, Merrick Garland. You may vaguely recall that there is an election coming up. As a matter of fact, in exactly a week, several states continue to be in play, including three or four that could veer to the other side of the political spectrum. Texas, a state that's used to being in the eye of the storm, but this time the storm is political.
Seeing a boost in registration. The state has over 16 million registered voters now, and that's about a 15% increase from where it was even a few years ago. So that move is really changing the state. The state also is much younger than it used to be. It's much more diverse than it used to be, and it's much more urban.
Political science professor Brandon Rodinghouse with the University of Houston says Texas has added a lot of voters in the Democrats. The demographics are changing. Just a couple of days ago, it was White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows who claimed that the COVID-19 virus now could not be controlled. Of course, the outcry in this political season was rapid and overwhelming, and now the WHO's Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus is joining in the rhetorical fray.
Although we agree with the Chief of Staff that controlling the protecting the vulnerable is important, but giving up on control is dangerous.
He went on to elaborate on the shared responsibility by government and private citizens. This is VOA News. President Trump's request that the United States replace him as the defendant in a defamation lawsuit has been denied. AP correspondent Mike Hempen reports.
The decision by U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan came after the Justice Department argued that the United States should replace Trump as the defendant in a lawsuit filed by columnist E. Jean Carroll. The judge ruled that a law protecting federal employees from being sued individually for things they do within the scope of their employment does not apply to a president. Carroll says in the fall of 1995 or the spring of 96, she and Trump had a chance encounter in a New York department store where she says Trump raped her. Trump says Carroll is lying to sell a memoir. I'm Mike Hempen.
A new military agreement has been signed between the U.S. and India. The deal will allow the U.S. to share important satellite data. This all in an effort to counter China's increased power in the region. At a news conference, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. Navy is focusing on the Indo-Pacific region. India is now engaged in its most difficult military standoff with China in decades at the disputed Himalayan border. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Secretary of Defense Esper attended that particular meeting. Meanwhile, rocket and artillery barrage have hit residential areas hours in the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh after the United States hosted top diplomats from Armenia and Azerbaijan for talks on settling their decade-long conflict. The heavy shelling forced residents of the regional capital of Nagorno-Karabakh into shelters as emergency teams rushed to extinguish fires. Nagorno-Karabakh lies within Azerbaijan but has been under the control of ethnic Armenian forces backed by Armenia since a war there ended in 1994. Deaths per day from the coronavirus in the U.S. are on the rise again, just as health experts had feared, and cases are climbing in nearly every state, despite assurances from President Donald Trump over the weekend that we're rounding the corner and doing great. Hurricane Zeta has come ashore on the Caribbean coast of the eastern Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico while whipping the resorts around Tulum with wind and rain. The U.S. National Hurricane Center says Zeta made landfall late Monday just north of Tulum with maximum sustained winds of 80 miles per hour. Zeta is predicted to lose some power while crossing the peninsula before regaining hurricane strength in the Gulf of Mexico on Tuesday while heading for the central U.S. Gulf Coast and a likely landfall on Wednesday night. Via remote, this is Joe Palca, and this is VOA News.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Duckhorn Vineyards, Napa, California. Duckhorn Vineyards has been crafting classic Napa Valley wines with a sense of place for more than 40 years. Learn more at duckhorn.com/NPR.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Trump heads back to the Midwest, where he's running a tight race against former Vice President Biden. Trump left the grounds of the White House today with one major victory, his third nominee confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I want to just tell you how happy everybody is, including me, with Justice Barrett. She is going to be a great justice for many, many years.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett was formally sworn in this morning in a private ceremony where Chief Justice John Roberts administered the judicial oath. Last night, Justice Clarence Thomas administered the constitutional oath. Biden, meanwhile, heads to Georgia, where he's declaring himself the uniting antidote to Trump's division.
A few weeks ago, I spoke at Gettysburg about the need to unite our nation. And today, I'm here at Warm Springs because I want to talk about how we're going to heal our nation.
Election days in a week, tens of millions of people have voted early. Maryland voters made state history yesterday by casting the most ballots ever in a single day of early voting. Emily Sullivan of member station WYPR reports.
More than 161,000 Marylanders turned out for the state's first day of early voting on Monday. That's a 30% increase from the first day of early voting in 2016. A Goucher College poll found that Marylanders are split when it comes to how they'll vote. Half said they'll vote by mail, half said they'll vote in person. Teresa Brown of Baltimore cast a ballot at Camden Yards, home of the Baltimore Orioles. She said voting in person is a tough habit to break.
I'm so used to voting like this anyhow, rather than, you know, putting it in the mailbox.
About 950,000 Marylanders have voted by mail so far, bringing the total number of early ballots cast in the state to almost 1.1 million. For NPR News, I'm Emily Sullivan in Baltimore.
National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien and the administration's hostage affairs envoy are defending Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's recent actions on Syria. This after the mother of a journalist who went missing there accuses Secretary of being an obstacle to her son's release. Here's NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
Deborah Tice says she believes that Pompeo is undermining President Trump's critical outreach to Syria to find her son Austin, who's been missing for 8 years. Last week, Pompeo made clear the U.S. won't change U.S. policy to get him home. But the administration's envoy for hostage affairs says it was Pompeo who authorized him to go to Syria and hold the first U.S. diplomatic engagement in 10 years. National Security Advisor O'Brien says Pompeo has played a critical role in the administration's efforts to bring U.S. citizens home, a key campaign issue for Trump. O'Brien adds that he and the president have full confidence that the secretary will continue to do that. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR. A senior executive of Chinese tech giant Huawei is back in a Canadian court today, fighting her extradition to the United States. NPR's Jackie Northam reports a trial is straining Canada-China relations.
Lawyers from Meng Wanzhou are arguing this week in court that Canadian police and border agents mistreated her during her arrest at Vancouver's International Airport nearly 2 years ago. The Huawei executive says Canadian authorities violated her rights by turning over the contents of her phone and laptop to the FBI. The Trump administration alleges Meng defrauded U.S. banks as a way to skirt sanctions on Iran and asked Canada to detain and extradite her to the U.S. Canada has to honor the request but is paying the price. Shortly after Meng's detention, China arrested two Canadian citizens for espionage, which was widely seen as a move to gain Meng's release. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Washington.
A University of Michigan football fan has been sentenced to a year and one day in prison for taking his trash talk of a rival team too far. Daniel Rippey went on Facebook and posted threats in 2018 against Ohio State college football players because they'd beat his team. Today, federal judge Algernon Marbley said the country takes mass shootings seriously and Rippey's threats should not go unpunished. Rippey apologized. The 10 months he has spent in jail since his arrest will count toward today's sentence. This is NPR News.
Свобода. Новости.
У микрофона Любовь Баматова. В Москве 21 час. Технолог Виталий Шкляров покинул пределы Беларуси. Об этом стало известно во вторник, 27 октября, сообщило белорусское независимое издание «Тутбай». Три дня назад положение Шклярова обсуждали по телефону Александр Лукашенко и глава Госдепартамента США Майк Помпео. Помпео в разговоре с Лукашенко призвал к полному освобождению Шклярова и разрешению его немедленного выезда из Белоруссии. Виталий Шкляров – один из обвиняемых по делу Сергея Тихановского, бывшего претендента на участие в президентских выборах в Беларуси в 2020 году. Еще до задержания заявлял, что не был консультантом Сергея Тихановского и никогда не работал на него. Как позже прокомментировал эту информацию издание «Тутбай», адвокат Шклярова, следствие по уголовному делу не закончено. В Польше пятый день продолжаются массовые протесты из-за ужесточения законодательства в отношении абортов. Протесты защитников прав женщин охватили около 150 городов. Десятки тысяч человек в автомобилях, на велосипедах или пешком блокировали движение на дорогах, передает агентство Рейтер. В Варшаве демонстранты перекрыли основные перекрестки города, примерно на час заблокировав движение автомобилей и трамваев. Некоторые люди вышли на улицы с транспарантами, на которых было написано «Хотелось бы сделать аборт правительству». Полиция применила перцовый газ, чтобы не допустить столкновения участников протестов со сторонниками запрета абортов. Госдума приняла в окончательном чтении законопроект, меняющий порядок формирования правительства. Он, в частности, разрешает президенту увольнять премьер-министра без его кабинета. Согласно новой процедуре формирования правительства, премьер-министр, вице-премьеры и федеральные министры назначаются президентом после их утверждения депутатами Нижней палаты парламента. В Сирии группировка вооруженной оппозиции, которая пользуется поддержкой Анкары, подвергла ракетному и артиллерийскому обстрелу позиции правительственных войск спустя день после сообщения о авиаударах российской армии по тренировочному лагерю бойцов Фелакашам в провинции Идлиб, вблизи границы с Турцией. По данным издания «Коммерсант», в заявлении, распространенном противниками Башара Асада в соцсетях, говорится о гибели нескольких российских военных во время ракетного обстрела в районе Кафр-Нобель. Были убиты 10 сирийских офицеров, 40 солдат, уничтожены военные объекты, артиллерийские установки. «Коммерсант» направил официальный запрос Министерства обороны России. Глава Чечни Рамзан Кадыров считает, что, поддерживая публикацию карикатур на пророка Мухаммеда, президент Франции Эммануэль Макрон сам становится похож на террориста и завуалированно призывает мусульман совершать теракты. Кадыров в телеграм-канале призвал президента Франции прекратить провокации и нападки на веру. Кроме того, по мнению Кадырова, именно насмешки над верой и пародии стали причиной трагедии с преподавателем в пригороде Парижа. Выступая 23 октября на траурной церемонии в память об убитом учителе Самуэле Пати, Макрон заявил, что ислам находится в состоянии кризиса и призвал к защите светских ценностей Французской Республики от радикального ислама. Он назвал погибшего преподавателя тихим героем, который учил детей свободе слова, свободе верить или не верить, а само нападение на учителя исламистским терактом. Министр здравоохранения Ростовской области Татьяна Быковская, 16 лет, возглавлявшая министерство, ушла на пенсию. Это произошло на фоне скандала в связи с гибелью, предположительно из-за нехватки кислорода, 13 находившихся на аппаратах искусственной вентиляции легких пациентов с COVID-19 в больнице Ростова-на-Дону. Администрация больницы и власти города заявили, что проблем с поставкой кислорода в медучреждение не было. Тем не менее, Следственный комитет, Росздравнадзор и Роспотребнадзор начали проверку. Роспотребнадзор обязал всех жителей России носить маски в общественных пространствах, транспорте и в лифтах.